Restitution, Book Number 11 in the Practical Helps for the Overcomers, written by Zacharias Tani Fomum, narrated by Gerald Zimmerman. Dedication. I lovingly dedicate this book to Henry Ning, the first fruit of our ministry in Cameroon, in loving memory of that 29th day of September 1975, with great expectations for the future. Preface. The thought of many is that when a person is saved, God forgives him and wipes away all the consequences of his past sins, that he is free. His freedom is so complete that he has no responsibility to rightly terminate with the past and to carry out restitution to those he wronged then. This book clearly examines the way of thinking in the light of the Scriptures and sets out the biblical message for those who have overcome and those who want to overcome. If you do not want to reassess your life in the light of the Word of God, we recommend that you should forget this book completely and not bother to listen to it at all. For if you listen, you may find out that you have to carry out revolutionary restitution that will bring you to the crest of the wave of the Holy Spirit's move. If you are an overcomer or desire to become one, this is your book. May the Lord bless you as you read it. We send this book out with prayer that the overcomers in reading it would become more conformed to their soon coming Lord. Yaoundé, December 21, 1990, Zacharias Tani Fomum, Cameroon. Introduction. It can be said that there are seven steps back to fellowship with God. They are a knowledge of sin, sorrow for sin, confession of sin, separation from sin, restitution, forgiveness, and restoration. In our opinion, these seven steps are basic. The fact that many so-called believers and many believers today seem to live in an unending cycle of sin, confession of sin, some relationship with God, and then confession of sin, some relationship with God, and then back to sin, says there is something fundamentally wrong somewhere. While we shall be treating this whole matter in another book, we feel compelled by the Holy Spirit within and the need of the saints around to single out restitution and write urgently on it. The reason for this is the fact that we have to come to observe with increasing frequency, both in our lives and in the lives of multitudes, that where there was genuine, wholehearted, and thorough restitution to God and to man for a sin committed, the person hardly went back to committing the same sin. In fact, it seemed easier to be delivered from other sins after restitution has been carried out for one sin. It would seem that the agony of restitution also leads to a new level of fellowship with God and a new hatred of sin, so much that the believer is more willing to cooperate with God and thereby work out the hatred of sin and departure from sin which the Holy Spirit has given him power for. We are convinced that a return to biblical restitution will bring a new day to the people of God. We have also read from the acts of God in the past that it was rare to see a genuine move of God that was deep and sustained, that was not accompanied by biblical restitution. We acknowledge that restitution is not all. Restitution must be preceded by a deep and thorough separation from sin, and then be followed by the seeking and receiving of forgiveness from the Lord. And finally, the seeking and receiving of restoration into the heart of God, for that is the God-ordained dwelling place for the believer. We pray that the Holy Spirit will enable this message to be correctly understood and that He will soften the hearts of the saints to receive it with the fear of God in their hearts. We further pray that the Lord will not only lead multitudes of believers to carry out restitution for the past and to walk the way of restitution in the present, but that He will be glad to raise many who, having carried out restitution in their lives, will teach restitution and help others to carry it out. It has been a privilege to include some testimonies by people who have obeyed the Lord and made progress in the life of restitution. We pray that such testimonies will make things clearer for you and that they will encourage you to walk the way they walked and are walking. Glory be to the Lord. Amen. Part 7. Testimonies. Chapter 20. Restitution, Number 1. It was time to prepare for the next academic year. Among the things I needed was drawing equipment. One of the items in the drawing equipment was a compass set. I went to the bookshop to buy one, but the seller, instead of selling it to me, told me to come back in the afternoon. This disturbed me because I could not understand this reluctance to sell an article that was available and for which I had ready cash to pay. However, I did not argue. On returning in the afternoon, he took me outside and gave me the compass. But the sum I gave him was inferior to the normal price. Though I was not happy with what I was doing, I was afraid to refuse. I knew that this money was not going into the cash desk of the bookshop. About 2 years later, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Shortly afterwards, I completed my studies and picked up a job. When one day my eyes fell on the compass set, it recalled memories of how I obtained it, and my conscience knew no rest from that moment. However, I had nobody to counsel me on this matter because, as a believer at the time, I was isolated and not sharing the fellowship we enjoy today as an assembly. I felt that I had to do something about it, but I did not know exactly how to go about it. I finally thought of going to reveal what I had done to the bookshop owner. I was afraid because I thought of being thrown in prison. As I realized that there was no other alternative, I thought it wise to wait for my first salary so that, if need be, I could pay a good amount of money so as to free myself from an eventual difficulty. But I was working in the public service and the first salary could delay for months before coming. One afternoon, full of fear, I took the compass set and went to the bookshop. I asked to see the owner of the bookshop, and he was there. At first he was discourteous, but he granted me audience all the same. I explained everything to him, telling him the circumstances through which I acquired the compass set that I held before him. I could not even recognize the person who sold it to me, as he wanted to know the person. I could sense that he was disappointed, maybe due to the realization that he had been deceived by one of his employees. He came back to himself a few minutes later and said to me, "You came to reveal this matter to me so that your work may go on smoothly." He encouraged me to feel free and told me to go away. My fear left and I was happy, happy for having been forgiven before God and before man. I realize that before God lays a burden on any heart, He first of all ensures that all will go well. He wanted me to walk on a pathway that is straight. That brought me even closer to Him. I came to know Him as being strict and just, but also being very good. Chapter 21. Restitution, Number 2. I was a regional manager in a town of our nation called Garua. In this capacity, I was in charge of the funds in our service. I was a child of God, and the Lord had sustained me all along, such that I had a good testimony among my neighbors. However, situations arose whereby my covetousness became manifest in all its forms, such that I no longer bothered about using office equipment for personal ends. One day, I was transferred after being promoted. One of the workers in charge of financial matters came and drew my attention to a certain problem. One of the articles we had ordered some months earlier had not been delivered, and a similar amount of money was available for us to order something equivalent. That is when my heart could not resist temptation. Instead of placing an order for service equipment, I made one for my personal use. My conscience reacted instantly against it, but I hardened my heart. After I took my new duties, what I had done kept troubling me. As the Word of God was preached very powerfully at a meeting, I was convicted of sin. Not knowing what to do, I spoke to a brother who gave me a piece of advice. I collected the money corresponding to the price of the articles I had taken and went to the financial service department to expose what I had done. There, the reimbursement I wanted to make was accepted. It was then that my heart was liberated. But I also had to confess the sin to my boss. I made him know that despite the high opinion he had of me, I could also be involved in a case of fraud as the one I was confessing to him. He listened attentively and told me that everything was settled, but that in future I should not take such a big risk for such small sum of money. However, he did not reject me. When I left his office, I could once more look up to the sky and at the horizon. I could not understand how far my heart could have strayed away from the Lord. I humbly came back to God, regretting with all my heart and feeling miserable because of what I had done, thus breaking his heart and frustrating the Holy Spirit. Following what I experienced, something of the fear of God has been created in my heart. I stagger most often and even stumble, but by His grace He keeps me to Himself. I should also point out the fact that I really weep in my heart on realizing that I continuously betray my Lord. For Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver. For me, the 30 pieces of silver had been converted into money and all sorts of articles. It breaks my heart when I realize that I have betrayed the Lord Jesus for a worthless thing. But how much I long to have Him alone as my treasure. O Lord, satisfy the deep desire of my heart. You are the only one I want to possess. Chapter 22. Restitution Number 3. I was second in command at the place where I worked. At one time, my boss was to be absent for about 30 days, and I was the one to handle the management of the office, which included the distribution of petrol. The petrol coupons were kept by the secretary. After some time, I asked her to give some to me for a certain amount. I used them on my personal car. But one night, when I went out with this car, it suddenly stopped somewhere and would no more start. All my efforts were in vain, so I decided to leave the car where it was. It was the first time such a thing had ever happened to me. Another incident occurred that same night, which obliged me to go and see an elder brother. Afterwards, I informed him of the problem I had had with the car. As I looked for the spiritual reason underlying this incident, my mind went to the petrol coupons I had taken from the secretary. This brother told me, "It was better for your boss to have been the one to give them to you." Meanwhile, there was no apparent reason for me to blame myself. My boss was absent, and I had taken the coupons through legal means. But my conscience kept troubling me about the matter. Immediately I arrived at my office the following morning, I gave back the petrol coupons to the secretary. Afterwards, I went to look for a mechanic to tow the car from where I had left it the previous night. But just to be certain about what I was doing, I first went to where the car was parked. I was encouraged as I realized that at least it had not been stolen or broken into. Without much thought and without any hope at all, I nevertheless climbed into the car to give it another try. What a surprise I had to see the car start immediately. I could not believe it. I turned off the engine and began all over again, thinking that it had happened by chance. It started again. I was amazed. I drove it to the mechanic, where I told him that, despite all my efforts that previous night, the car had refused to start, and that even though the car seemed to be in good working order, I would still want it to undergo a checkup. When I returned later on, the mechanic told me he had found nothing wrong with the engine. For my part, I learned a lesson. I understood how much God is concerned about my hands being always clean. It was enough for me to grasp God's desire for me. Oh, how I long to walk the pathway of integrity. Very important. If you have not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to receive Him. Here are some steps to help you. Admit that you are a sinner by nature and by practice, and that on your own you are without hope. Tell God you have personally sinned against Him in your thoughts, words, and deeds. Confess your sins to Him, one after another, in a sincere prayer. Do not leave out any sins that you can remember. Truly, turn from your sinful ways and abandon them. If you stole, steal no more. If you have been committing adultery or fornication, stop it. God will not forgive you if you have no desire to stop sinning in all areas of your life, but if you are sincere, He will give you the power to stop sinning. Believe that Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." John 14:6. The Bible says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all." 1 Timothy 2:5-6. "And there is salvation in no one else apart from Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Acts 4:12. "But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God." John 1:12. But consider the cost of following Him. Jesus said that all who follow Him must deny themselves, and this includes selfish financial, social, and other interests. He also wants His followers to take up their crosses and follow Him. Are you prepared to abandon your own interests daily for those of Christ? Are you prepared to be led in a new direction by Him? Are you prepared to suffer for Him and die for Him if need be? Jesus will have nothing to do with half-hearted people. His demands are total. He will only receive and forgive those who are prepared to follow Him at any cost. Think about it and count the cost. If you are prepared to follow Him, come what may, then there is something to do. Invite Jesus to come into your heart and life. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door to his heart and life, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. Why don't you pray a prayer like the following one, or one of your own construction as the Holy Spirit leads? Lord Jesus, I am a wretched, lost sinner who has sinned in thought, word, and deed. Forgive all my sins and cleanse me. Receive me, Savior, and transform me into a child of God. Come into my heart now and give me eternal life right now. I will follow you at all costs, trusting the Holy Spirit to give me all the power I need. When you pray this prayer sincerely, Jesus answers at once and justifies you before God and makes you His child. Please write to me, ZTF Books at cmfionline.org, and I will pray for you and help you as you go on with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this book. If you have any question and/or need help, do not hesitate to contact us through ztfbooks@cmfionline.org. If the book has blessed you, then we would also be grateful if you leave a positive review at your favorite retailer. ZTF Books, through Christian Publishing House, CPH, offers a wide selection of best-selling Christian books in print, ebook, and audiobook formats on a broad spectrum of topics, including marriage and family, sexuality, practical spiritual warfare, Christian service, Christian leadership, and much more. Visit us at ztfbooks.com to learn more about our latest releases and special offers. And thank you for being a ZTF book reader. We invite you to connect with more from the author through social media, CMFI Online, and or ministry website, ztfministry.org, for free resources including on-ground and remote training sources all year round from basic to university level at the World University of Prayer and Fasting, WUPF, and the School of Knowing and Serving God, SKSG. You are highly welcome to enroll at your soonest convenience. Moreover, a completely free online Bible course drawn from Professor Fomum's books is also available. Lastly, we would like to recommend to you another suitable book in this series, Knowing God, the Greatest Need of the Hour. There are many believers today who worship the unknown God. There are many who have never sought Him until He was revealed to them. There are many who do not know Him. There are many for whom sin is a wonderful attraction because they have never beheld the all-glorious face of the Eternal Father nor heard His sweet voice. Their faith is more or less a theory. God seems absent or at best withdrawn. Do you know God? When did you personally encounter Him? When was your last encounter with Him? The greatest need of the hour is for saints who know God. This book is about knowing God. We consider that the greatest need of the hour is for believers to know their God and render to Him service that is an outflow of this knowledge and intimacy with Him. It is a book for you. God bless you abundantly. About the author, Zacharias Taney Fomum, 1945-2009, founding leader, Christian Missionary Fellowship International, CMFI. Professor Zacharias Taney Fomum was born in the flesh on 20th June, 1945, and became born again on 13th June, 1956. On 1st October 1966, he consecrated his life to the Lord Jesus and to His service, and was filled with the Holy Spirit on 24 October 1970. He was taken to be with the Lord on 14 March 2009. Professor Fomum was admitted to a first class in the Bachelor of Science degree, graduating as a prize-winning student from Fora Bay College in the University of Sierra Leone in October 1969. At the age of 28, he was awarded a Ph.D. in organic chemistry by the University of Makerere, Kampala, in Uganda. In October 2005, he was awarded a Doctor of Science, DSC, by the University of Durham, Great Britain. This higher doctorate was in recognition of his distinct contributions to scientific knowledge through research. As a professor of organic chemistry in the University of Yaoundé 1, Cameroon, Professor Fomum supervised or co-supervised more than 100 master's degree and doctoral degree theses and co-authored over 160 scientific articles in leading international journals. He considered Jesus Christ the Lord of science, for by him all things were created, Colossians 1:16, and scientific research as an act of obedience to God's command to subdue the earth, Genesis 1:28. He therefore made the Lord Jesus the director of his research laboratory while he took the place of deputy director, and attributed his outstanding success as a scientist to Jesus' revelational leadership. In more than 40 years of Christian ministry, Professor Fomum traveled extensively preaching the gospel, planting churches, and training spiritual leaders. He made more than 700 missionary journeys within Cameroon, which ranged from 1 day to 3 weeks in duration. 500 missionary journeys to more than 70 different nations in all the 6 continents. These ranged from 2 days to 6 weeks in duration. By the time of his going to be with the Lord in 2009, he had preached in over 1,000 localities in Cameroon, sent over 200 national missionaries into many localities in Cameroon, and planted over 1,300 churches in the various administrative provinces of Cameroon. At his base in Yaoundé, he planted and built a megachurch with his co-workers, which grew to a steady membership of about 12,000. Professor Fomum was a founding team leader of Christian Missionary Fellowship International, CMFI, an evangelism, soul-winning, disciple-making, church-planting, and missionary-sending movement with more than 200 international missionaries and thousands of churches in 65 nations spread across Africa, Europe, the Americas, Asia, and Oceania. In the course of their ministry, Professor Fomum and his team witnessed more than 10,000 recorded healing miracles performed by God in answer to prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. These miracles include instant healings of headaches, cancers, HIV/AIDS, blindness, deafness, dumbness, paralysis, madness, and new teeth and organs received. Professor Fomum read the entire Bible more than 60 times, read more than 1,350 books on the Christian faith, and authored over 150 books to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. 5 million copies of these books are in circulation in 12 languages, as well as 16 million gospel tracts in 17 languages. Professor Fomum was a man who sought God. He spent between 15 minutes and 6 hours daily alone with God in what he called daily dynamic encounters with God. During these daily dynamic encounters with God, he read God's Word, meditated on it, listened to God's voice, heard God speak to him, recorded what God was saying to him, and prayed it through. He thus had over 18,000 daily dynamic encounters with God. He also had over 60 periods of withdrawing to seek God alone for periods that ranged from 3 to 21 days, which he termed retreats for spiritual progress. The time he spent seeking God slowly transformed him into a man who hungered, thirsted, and panted after God. His unceasing heart cry was, "Oh, that I would have more of God." Professor Fomum was a man of prayer and a leading teacher on prayer in many churches and conferences around the world. He considered prayer to be the most important work that can be done for God and for man. He was a man of faith who believed that God answers prayer. He kept a record of his prayer requests and had over 50,000 recorded answers to prayer in his prayer books. He carried out over 100 prayer walks of between 5 and 47 kilometers in towns and cities around the world. He and his team carried out over 57 prayer crusades, periods of 40 days and nights during which at least 8 hours are invested into prayer each day. They also carried out over 80 prayer sieges, times of near nonstop praying that ranges from 24 hours to 120 hours. He authored the Prayer Power series, a 13-volume set of books on various aspects of prayer, supplication, fasting, intercession, and spiritual warfare. He started prayer chains, prayer rooms, prayer houses, national and continental prayer movements in Cameroon and other nations. He worked with leaders of local churches in India to disciple and train more than 2 million believers. Professor Fomum also considered fasting as one of the weapons of Christian spiritual warfare. He carried out over 250 fasts, ranging from 3 days to 40 days, drinking only water or water supplemented with soluble vitamins. Called by the Lord to a distinct ministry of intercession, he pioneered fasting and prayer movements and led in battles against principalities and powers obstructing the progress of the gospel and God's global purposes. He was enabled to carry out 3 supra, long fasts of between 52 and 70 days, in his final years. Professor Fomum chose a lifestyle of simplicity and self-imposed poverty in order to invest more funds into the critical work of evangelism, soul-winning, church planting, and the building up of believers. Knowing the importance of money and its role in the battle to reach those without Christ with the glorious gospel, he and his wife grew to investing 92.5% of their earned income from all sources, salaries, allowances, royalties, and cash gifts, into the gospel. They invested with the hope that, as they grew in the knowledge and love of the Lord and the perishing souls of people, they would one day invest 99% of their income into the gospel. He was married to Prisca Zay Fomum, and they had 7 children who are all involved in the work of the gospel, some serving as missionaries. Prisca is a national and international minister specializing in the winning and discipling of children to Jesus Christ. She also communicates and imparts the vision of ministry to children with a view to raising and building up ministers to them. The professor owed all that he was and all that God had done through him to the unmerited favor and blessing of God, and to his worldwide army of friends and co-workers. He considered himself nothing without them and the blessing of God, and would have amounted to nothing but for them. All praise and glory to Jesus Christ. You have been listening to Restitution, book number 11 in the Practical Helps for the Overcomers, written by Zacharias Tani Fomum, narrated by Gerald Zimmerman. Copyright 1990 by Zacharias Tani Fomum. Production copyright 2019 by ZTF Books Online.